This summer, MSU assistant professor Etienne Charles debuted his fourth album called Creole Soul. It's received favorable reviews from the New York Times and NPR and spent some time high up on the jazz charts. The album is a mix of folk, jazz, calypso, reggae, Haitian voodoo music, and more. Charles, who is also one of the MSU professors of jazz, will be playing some of his music at the Broad Museum tonight. WKAR's Melissa Benmark spoke with Etienne Charles about his album, his thoughts on music, and what caused him to pick up the trumpet as his primary instrument.
I didn't pick it, so my uncle gave me a trumpet. He was like, here. And I was like, okay, thank you.
How old were you then?
I was 10.
And that's not an easy instrument to just pick up. Not, you know, any kid can bang on a piano, but...
It requires instruction. And after my exams had finished, my parents set me up with some lessons, and they continued, and then I started playing in bands. When I was about 11, 12, I started playing in a few different bands around town. And yeah, stopped for a couple of years because I had braces, so...
Oh.
Started playing percussion and drums then, and then picked it back up when I was 16.
That's amazing that you had that break in there, and you know, because so many people who play from such a young age just are constantly at it, and that's says a lot about you as a musician that you were able to withstand having a couple years off because of the braces like that.
Yeah, it was like being in jail. It was torture, you know. It was really torture. I mean, I could not wait for the day that my teeth were straight, I guess, as they call it, so that I could get back on the horn.
Reading the articles and interviews with you and that have been written about you, there's a lot of focus on the fusion of various cultures' music, and that's clearly a rich source for your music. But do you ever sometimes get a little bit tired of people taking apart, saying, you know, oh, this came from this and this came from this? And it, I mean, doesn't sometimes the creative process isn't part of that, not really necessarily knowing, you know, having it cut up into little pieces that this came from this and this came from this, is that you kind of bring it all together as a whole?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's funny because I just write music the way I hear it. I don't think about what different elements I'm going to put in, you know, because that's the difference between a recipe and a tune. Because a recipe going in, you have quite a good idea of what's going to go into the food. Whereas with a tune, you have no idea when you sit down at that piano. So for me, I don't think about that going in. And yeah, I like for people to just enjoy the sound, you know, just think about it as, you know, as a sound piece, a sound color.
Just looking at the 1900s and the early 2000s where jazz is concerned, in my father's day, jazz was king. That was it. It just was. When I first started in public radio in the 80s, if you want to play jazz, you had to go to Europe. Where do you think jazz is in America right now?
It's in a few places. It's definitely in academia. So a lot of the performance opportunities are actually in schools, like academia, you know, so a lot of performers are taking up positions as professors at different universities around the country. And also in Europe, it's starting to take a big turn towards academia. Jazz clubs are becoming less and less, and specifically rooms where people can go just to listen to jazz. And it's becoming more expensive. You know, it's becoming, you know, performing arts centers, you know, their tickets tend to be, you know, on a minimum of about $30, $35, $40. So, you know, the music is becoming less accessible. But then again, there's, you know, you can listen to anything on the internet, so you can develop a love for the music that's hopefully going to make you want to come out. I personally try to keep my tickets on the low side because we want people to come and experience the music, because for us, it's about the connection between the band and the audience. But yeah, it's an interesting time because, you know, a lot of people are saying that jazz is on the decline, and that, you know, the performance opportunities are no longer what they used to be. But musicians have been saying that for 80 years, that it's not the same as it used to be. And so I highly always encourage people to go find their audiences, go play, you know, build it up from scratch.
Where do you find that today's college students are getting inspiration?
A lot of it, they get the inspiration from normally a mentor that they had as a youngster. Maybe their band teacher may have given them a jazz CD to listen to, or maybe they met a jazz musician in the town and, you know, started learning from them. And then The thing about the internet now, the World Wide Web, you know, you could go on YouTube and you can watch John Coltrane play, you know, any time of day, any time of night. So it's actually more to inspire you now than, say, 10, 15 years ago. But I still say there needs to be more chances for them to go and hear the music, and specifically hear the legends of this music, you know, so that they could hear people like Jimmy Heath and Kenny Barron and Roy Haynes, because, you know, and that's where the academia comes in, because we get to bring these people in as guest artists, so they still get a chance to interact with them.
You wrote, it looks like, most of the material on Creole Soul. I know it's hard to ask you to pick a favorite. It's like saying which of your kids is your favorite. But if you had to pick a favorite one, what would it be, and what is it that you most enjoy about playing it?
One favorite tune on the record, I'd probably say Roots. It was the first tune I wrote for the album. And it's the tune I wrote when I was listening to a lot of Martinique and Field recordings. Well, one recording in particular. And the sounds stuck in my head, and I was actually at Heart Recital Hall. That's where I did most of the writing for this album. And I sat there, and it came out, and it's a tune where we go through quite a few different moods on it, because it's about a search. So that's probably my favorite tune. But it is like choosing one of your children as the favorite.
It's like in the era of the big record companies and the rock and roll and that kind of thing, that people toured to promote their albums. And I would argue that now that's changing for a lot of reasons because of the internet, in part, that people have exposure to different kinds of bands. But I would say, especially with jazz, it seems like the album is almost there to promote the live playing, because there is that element that you can't quite capture even on the very best recording.
I'm of the school that you have to tour to support an album. I'm from that school. By the end of this tour, we would have done about 35 dates in support of the record. Yeah, the album is, I mean, a lot of musicians use a record as a calling card. It's a way to reach out to presenters to get them interested in booking the band. It's also a way to develop a link with your audience, because you do records, you do quite a few. And over time, it becomes a sound, it becomes a color, it becomes who you are, and it's something that people can connect with. Also, it's simply for documentation purposes, in my mind. You know, my one of my teachers, Marcus Roberts, he told me straight up, he's like, always document what you're doing. I mean, it might be good, it might be bad, but always document it, just because that's the only way you can know if you're growing or not.
You just turned 30 this summer.
Don't remind me.
Don't worry, it's not too bad up here. But you've had, really, by anybody's standards, an enormous amount of success in your music. So what are you still hoping to do over the next 10 years, say?
Next 10 years with my musical career, get more chances to play my music with my band. Get to play more with my idols, you know, my heroes, people that I grew up listening to their music, and people whose music I've studied. I would love to be able to get to interact with them on a musical level on a bandstand.
Who's the number one?
Number one, Roy Haynes. Love his music, love his playing. I mean, there's so many that, you know, that I would love to get a chance to play with. Roy Haynes, Chick Corea. I'm a big fan of Chick Corea's music. So many.
ATN Charles, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.
And the concert Jazz After Hours featuring the ATN Charles Quintet begins at 7 p.m. tonight at the Broad Art Museum on the MSU campus in East Lansing.